stick with what you know. Yeah.
Or learn, or just take the time to you know, make the investment in learning before doing. Don't be one of the people that are just, don't just rush into it. Yep. Either stick with what you know. And if you don't know something, you either pay a professional to do it for you. Pay a professional to do it for you, or educate yourself and until you're at the point where you feel comfortable doing it yourself. That's what I do in the stock market, right? I'm so far removed that I look at it, and if I start off in stock investments for you guys that are unfamiliar, I'm so far removed that it feels foreign, right? And I once you get back into it, I just don't have the time to dedicate myself to another market in a way that is needed for me to be extremely profitable with all I'm doing in Forex. So I pay other people to do it for me. I pay professionals to do it for me. I give them money. They put it in places, right? I have a small impact on, I from my experience in managing money, I know that I don't want to overstep the same way my clients overstepped. But I tell them how aggressive or conservative I want to be. And then, you know, 2020 came, and what do you think I shifted to? What do you think I did in April and March? May? No, super aggressive. Yep. The opposite of what you would think. No, super aggressive. Super aggressive, right? Because this thing always goes up. It's never going to not go up. There are very rare opportunities, as you can see, historically, where you have big dips, right? Now, I've been waiting for a big dip for, like, I've been wrong for the last, I think, like, in 2000, I think I've been calling a big crash since, like, 2016. I don't know when it's going to come, but I'm like, we're due, just historically, right? These things should come, right? So I'm like, it's coming, right? So understanding that it's going to come, and understanding, so it's like this. I'm trying to think of a good example. It's like, I'm trying to think of something that goes on sale every year. But imagine your favorite store. Imagine your favorite store with whatever they buy. Let's say they do here it goes. So we used to go to this arts and crafts stores. It's this craft store around where I live where they do like all handmade wooden stuff, and you can't really go into the store and buy it. They sell it to companies in bulk and stuff like that. And then once a year they have this in-store deal where it's like, I guess whatever's left over, they sell it, and it's like, it's super cheap, right? Because they gotta liquidate all their product to make room for whatever the New Year's stuff is, right? So every year, right? And you gotta sign up on this special signing list, right? But it'll be like a 50% off deal, right? So if you're someone that knows that and you're patient, would you continue to buy from this store throughout the year? Or would you wait until that one-time deal? What do you think you would do? Again, assuming it's like clockwork, right? Every year, December 23rd to whatever, right? You wait for the one-time deal. So what do you do throughout the year if you're financially disciplined, right? And you know you're going to spend this on it, right? You save, right? I was listening to, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about budgeting, and she has she's really good with budgeting. Her husband's really not. And I was listening to one of the Always Free podcasts where I forgot her name, but Jason interviewed she's a couples coach and like a money's coach. And she was saying that most of the couples she works with, one is really good with financials, one isn't. And then she's talking about ways to do it. So I was telling her to listen to the podcast, and I was giving her some advice on you know, what we do, and kind of like their problem is they don't save, or she likes to save, the husband doesn't like to save. So there's an issue there where he's kind of like, you know, I'll get it back next paycheck. And she's like, no, we need to save for rainy day, right? So if you're financially disciplined and you know this is coming once a year, you work it into your budget, right? You work it in. Yeah, Fanny Snaith. Yeah, there we go. The unique name you'll never forget, the one and only. You'll work it into your budget, right? You can look back at historic trends and know how much you spend, right? Every year we go in there and we spend, let's say, $200, or I don't know, let's make it up random numbers here. So if you know that information, it's not that hard to say, hey, I'm going to put $20 a month aside for this year, this end of year event, right? You guys with me? If I know I spend $200 there every year, I'm just going to work it out in my budget. I put $20 in a bank account, $20 under the mattress in a you know, safe somewhere, whatever you want to do it. And so when this event comes, boom, I've got the cash on hand. So you're not taking it out of other aspects of your life, right? It's the same thing in the financial markets, right? If you know these, I don't want to call them all crashes, but these corrections are going to come, right? If you know they're going to come, and you can look at it from a very far out macro perspective, you know they're going to come every 6 years, 8 years. Again, that's kind of out of the, it's a little different now. And even throughout the year, if you know they're going to come at certain times, right, you can plan for them. You can have a nest egg of savings, and it could be, you can create a different tab in your bank account if they allow you to do it, that just says money for future investment, right? And then you dedicate it and you say, hey, I'm going to put $100 a month or blank percent a month into that account. And you feed it, you feed it, you feed it. It's savings. You can put it in a different type of investment if you want to make some money off of it while it's waiting. That's not bad at all, right? Put it in something that you can take it out of easily, like money market account, something simple, or put it in another investment if you know what you're doing, right? We had a trader the other day shot me an email about I have $10,000 in the account, but I only want to trade with $3,000. Should I put the other $7,000 in the ETF or something like that, just so it's doing something while I'm waiting to kind of transition it into my regular trading account, right? Roulette table, right? Whatever you want to do with it, whether you want to be super safe with it and just hide it in your house, whether you want, I would, if you're going to, you know, if it's going to be years, I would advise investing it, put it in a non-aggressive, very safe investment. But have it ready for when those big crashes come. And when they come, get super aggressive. Now, your age, if you're super old, probably not. You know, you don't want to be super aggressive when you're really old. But if you have time, or if you assume you have time, we never know how much time we have, right? Be super aggressive during the crashes. Because if there's one thing we know, right, are these crashes going to last forever? No, we can make the fair assumption that we are going to go up again, right? We are going to correct. Lo and behold, look at 2020. We've already corrected and are making new highs, right? So get super aggressive when things are cheap. Get super aggressive when things are cheap, right? You don't have to call the bottom. That's not the game here. You don't want to call the bottom, right? You're never going to call the bottom. But you get in when things are cheap. You eat your pain for a little bit. 2 years later, you're dancing around the house. Had no, yeah, that. Yeah, that's why timing is the thing. It's like you never know when it's going to happen, so you have it aside somewhere that it's easily available. Because you don't foresee things like this, you know corrections whatnot are happening, but you don't. I mean, no one could have guessed the reason behind it. So I don't know. I think Darla asked, do I see another crash in 2021? I do not, no. No. I mean, unless, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe the virus, maybe the vaccines come out and it starts, you know, I hope this doesn't happen, but it starts killing more people than the virus did, then yeah. but I don't see. I mean, we're in the worst of it right now, and we're making new highs. Like, at least I can speak for here in the U.S. Right, like this is worse than it was in a year in March last year in April. Right, our but this is the we're in the worst. We've just become numb to it. The Band-Aid has been ripped off, and it's like, it hurt really, really bad. And now it still hurts. It's still gushing blood, but it's like, whatever. I got used to it. It's like my knee problem, right? So I don't think we're going to have a crash. I think there will be opportunities, obviously. I don't think we're going to see it. Never know what's going to happen. I wouldn't think we're going to see anything similar to what we saw in 2020. I think more so than everything, we talked earlier about the market being emotional. It was the shock factor. Right? The shock factor. Worldwide pandemic, right? First one we've seen like this in a while. First time that, at least in my lifetime, and probably all of your lifetime, that we've ever seen like a world, in a sense, go on complete lockdown. Businesses were mandated to close, right? This is all new. It's scary. It's scary. Like we fear the unknown, right? Like, we've dealt with the housing stuff before. If that were to happen again, we'd know exactly what it wouldn't be that bad. It's 2008 and 9 all over again, right? This is new. So it's scary. And when things get scary, what do people do? They panic, right? And again, if you look at things, and Darla just said, Dutch health experts say that the next 6 months is going to get even. Yeah, we're at the worst right now. It's going to get even worse. I fear Christmas, right? There was again, I'm only speaking for the U.S. here. I know a little bit about the UK, but not too much. But you should see the curve of what has happened after Thanksgiving, right? What do you think is going to happen after Christmas as people are bouncing from house to house, spreading stuff? Not to mention everything else, right? It's already the winter flu season. You know, it's just going to get worse. But we're numb to it. We don't care. We've dealt with it for a year. It's not scary anymore. It's in a way, you hate to say it, it's become a normal thing of life, right? I can't tell you how many times I used to go out and be like, oh crap, forgot my mask. Got to turn around. Can't go to the store. Now I don't even realize my mask is on. It's like, all right, whatever. It's just we become numb to it. And the markets are going to reflect that. It's like, okay, what's the next thing? So I can't foresee us seeing anything like we did in 2020 again, unless like, the only thing I can see is that the virus has a worse repercussion than the, you know, something really bad happens with the vaccine, even not the virus, the vaccine. Because that's the shining light. Oh, we have the vaccine. It's coming. It'll be available. And things will get better. Optimism. It has to get better because it can't get any worse. Even though it is getting worse. But that's the way we'll see it. If the vaccine fails and it's like it causes like heads to explode or something like that, now it's like, oh no. Uh-oh, what's happening? So it's the emotions will rule over facts, because the facts would tell you that we should be tanking. We should be even worse. But emotionally, we're done. We're tired. We're fatigued.